And the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Good Living Show, or maybe I'll say welcome back to the Good Living Show. We have been on a bit of hiatus, as many people have, but I am so happy to be back in the studio with Bob, and I've got Lori here. To talk about kind of what's gone on with us for the last few months and kind of bringing it back live. We've had the recorded shows and you've got some of our greatest guests over the last few months, but good to be back. Good to be talking to you. And hopefully we can answer some questions that you might have. I've got Lori Pincero here from also Osborne Home Care, but she also brings a different perspective to us. She is an EMS worker, so she's been out and about and helping us through all this as well. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Michelle. Good to be here.
Lori is always here, but she's usually in the background taking pictures and doing some Facebook Live stuff. But we thought this morning we would talk about some kind of frequently asked questions, especially over the last 3 months, that have come to us on the home care side, on the caregiving side, on the EMS side, and just some in general, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we're going to get right started with it. And I guess I'm going to ask you first. So you have been, we talk about frontline workers. I think the first line is the EMS coming to your door when you call somebody. So you have been on the front lines. Tell us a little bit about your experience and how things might have changed from the beginning to where we're at now.
Okay. Yes, it's been a new experience for everybody, even the seasoned EMS workers. At the beginning of the COVID, we got calls constantly. People were sick. They were worried. They thought they had COVID. They thought they needed to go to the hospital. So they called us. Yep. Then as the disease, or virus, I should say, progressed, people realized they didn't want to be at the hospital. They didn't want to be taken to the hospital. The hospital is not a place you wanted to be.
We did make a 360 on that one. In the beginning, we wanted help, and then we didn't want anything to do with going to the hospital.
You know, when they heard families couldn't go, the virus was there, it was getting worse. Then our calls decreased very much, and then it was just the people that truly needed to go to the hospital, either with COVID or normal illnesses that happen. So calls kind of shrunk, and then you didn't get the automobile accidents because nobody was on the road. So right. You saw a decrease even on people that normally would call you for their normal things weren't calling. Nobody wanted to go to the hospital. It was like the plague. You didn't want to go. Then now you're starting to see an upswing again. Traffic is back up. People are getting back to work. Life is opening up. So the normal calls are starting to come in. Not as much COVID. You're still seeing COVID calls, but not very much. It's more the everyday illnesses now.
Well, talking from the hospital perspective, you know, although you didn't want to go, you know, there were times when you had to. And I, unfortunately, experienced one of those times during all this and have to say, I spent some time at our lovely local Greenwich Hospital, and it was a different experience. I've not, you know, a frequent hospital goer, but in the last 10 years, I've gone once maybe. The experience was very different. So although you didn't see a lot of people like you usually see, my gosh, I couldn't believe how kind and had to be completely overworked nurses in there, but still the kindness and the making sure that you were well taken care of and, you know, kind of everything you need done for you. So that was a different experience, and it was busy in there. So for people that may not want to go, they were busting at the seams for sure.
Yes. You know, when you have to go, you have to go. They are taking the precautions. Don't be afraid to go to your hospital.
Absolutely. All right. So when we talked about questions that might have come up during all this, and you know, our experience is home care. So home-based services where we bring caregivers into your home to take care of you and take care of needs that you might not be able to do yourself. And through this, there's been a lot of questions and a lot of concern raised with folks that are coming into the house. And, you know, what is your susceptibility? What is your risk in having a caregiver come to the house?
Definitely.
So we're going to try to answer that question from our perspective. And this is from the Osborne Home Care perspective, what we do and how we have tried to ease some of those concerns. I think probably the biggest concern is, you know, if you need the care, it's best to have it than to go without.
Correct. Yeah. I would say, you know, if someone truly needs it, they are, say they're aging, so they are fall risk, they're by themselves, the risk outweighs the benefit, or the benefit outweighs the
risk. For
sorry,
sure.
I backwards yep. talked on that.
Yeah, I think so too. So we talked about in the beginning, we had a lot of clients who did call and say, I just want to put my service on hold for now, which is completely understandable, especially with folks that were, you know, using their caregiver to take them to the grocery store or to take them to the senior center. Those the trips were limited anyway. So, but folks that really needed the care, companies like Osborne Home Care had to come up with solutions to make sure that, to the best of their ability, that the caregivers going in were safe.
Correct.
So I would say in the very beginning, we were just like everybody else. And, you know, supplies were our biggest concern, making sure that all of our caregivers had the correct supplies and the needed supplies in the home.
Correct PPE, correct right. sanitation, and also how to use them. So we went right. even further to make sure they understood how to properly use them too, which is very important.
And surprising, you know, not many people, especially clients or the seniors that we visit, didn't have a lot of those Lysol wipes and sanitizing wipes and things like that, because it was something that, you know, I don't need, you know, to stockpile this stuff. If I have one container, that's good. And those were things that we found ourselves really, you know, combing the grocery stores for hand soap, for hand sanitizer, for paper towels and toilet paper. How do we get all these supplies to our clients? Therefore, the caregivers have the supplies that they need to keep things clean. I mean, besides the gloves, gowns, and masks, it was really down to the, how, you know, mixing bleach with water to make sure they had proper sanitizing equipment for when they went into the house.
Correct. Yeah, we went to a lot of shopping stores and combed a lot of areas.
And I think that that brings up a point because, you know, that's part of that all is the person safe. And we'll get into testing and making sure and doing the best of our ability to make sure that somebody that comes in is safe. But I think in the initial, it was just, okay, we need to make sure when we get into the house that we're sanitizing, you know, everything, including ourselves. And we've, you know, talked to Bob Pryor about whether you change your clothes when you get to the house, you know, those kind of things that you do. So there were certainly a lot of questions that, you know, I guess we'll find out as we move along further into this, how successful all those things were. But I think the initial, the sanitizing, the supplies, the, you know, the gowns and taking COVID clients. So we had the big question that came up when a new onset or somebody who wasn't our client already was referred to us. What did we do? How did we handle it? Who did we take them? And we did. We had caregivers that were willing to don proper PPE and their personal protection equipment and take care of those new clients that were new to us with COVID, either coming out of the hospital or coming home from a nursing home. So that was another challenge to make sure that people felt safe to go into somebody's home that had COVID, not to mention, you know, the person's, you know, thinking that they may be at risk because of a caregiver.
Correct. And it was important because some of these people were coming out of hospitals, going home. Family members did not or could not go in and care for them for whatever may be reasons. They had immune problems or small children and didn't want to expose their other family members that were not COVID positive. So they would call us and they needed the care. They were kind of forced into that field, so they had no choice.
Right.
Where there are some people that are just struggling right now because they need home care, but they still have that fear of bringing a stranger into the home, more of a fear than the normal, I don't want a stranger in my home.
Right, right. And I think let's get into that. So that was kind of before. So that was 3 months ago, getting into this, the end of March, April. We have learned so much and come so far in what we do with our caregivers, and I think the whole industry. I can only speak to what we do at the Osborne and Osborne Home Care, but the whole industry has kind of evolved to where we are. Lori, because she is our business development person and has not been able to be in, you know, most of the facilities that she goes in to talk to people about home care, she has done so much to connect with on Zoom and other means, but also is making sure that caregivers do have supplies and have used that time to every week deliver, a bag of supplies to all of our caregivers still to this date. But I think training the caregivers on one, use of all of the equipment, and two, how to stay safe. So home care is one of those industries that uses public transportation a lot. Trains, buses, from people to get from their home to the client's home. And that's something I think that we took care of very quickly with the concern of public transportation, especially in the initial, before they shut down a lot of the trains and people really stopped taking the trains. We started early on bringing Ubers to and from. So the caregiver wasn't on a public transportation. They were Ubered from their door to the client's door in many, many cases. And I think that eased some of what people thought of public transportation and how's the caregiver going to get here and how many items are they going to touch before they get here. So I think that eliminated one of the concerns.
I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Also teaching them about how to wipe all their personal items when they came into the home, mm-hmm. change into their uniform when they got to the client's house. So anything they wore coming to was changed before going in prior right. to care.
Even wiping down the Uber car. So many of
the
caregivers get in, the driver would say, "I've already wiped it down." And they said, "No, I'm wiping it down myself." So when they got into the Uber car, wiping it down again. And then, like you said, sanitizing when they got to the house, whether it be their uniform and then surfaces around the house.
Yes. Personal protective equipment is only good as how you use it. So
that's true.
It was really important to, I see so much in the public of people misusing it. And I guess it's the medical part of me inside, and I want to bang my head and tell people.
Right. I do too. But I refrain.
I'm glad to see people at least wearing their masks, and that's the most important, wearing the mask, washing your hands. I can't tell you enough, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Gloves on a person out in public is not a necessity, and I'm going to say that a million times over because I think it's giving people a false sense of security. They're touching everything with the gloves thinking they're not transmitting the disease, but it's just like having your bare hands, and then they're touching cell phones and car doors and people. Just wash your hands.
Right.
Wash your hands. Wear the mask. Those are the two most important things I can get through today.
Agreed. Early on, adopting the must wipe your cell phone down, several times a day. And we kind of put all these protocols into place and sent it out. The education was trying to figure out education for caregivers who are very remote. We resulted to installing an app on telephones that would put all the education onto their phones so they could access it very easily. And it told us whether they had read it and how long they spent on the training. So all these different trainings that we had to do, a lot of it was pushed to their telephone so that they could do it there. We also, for communication, used call-em-all or robocalls. We robocalled caregivers daily, and still are using robocall to get information out daily to the caregivers, clients, residents, things like that. So communication has been a huge, huge piece of it as well.
I think it's been important for the caregivers to feel that they've been connected to us, that we're making sure their safety is as important to us as even our clients, because it has to be. If we can't make the caregivers safe, we can't make the clients safe. So it's all a trickle-down effect, and it's very important.
It is, and sometimes in the beginning, you know, communication is all we had because we were scrambling for, just like everybody else, scrambling for everything we needed, you know, from the surgical mask to N95 masks and all the other components that went along with it. You know, you heard the shortages. They were true, but we made sure that people had the supplies that they needed to be safe.
Yes.
So as we progressed into, you know, the PPE or the supply issues and then kind of came into a new normal, as I've heard a million times and getting kind of tired of it. But anyway, if it's the new normal, it's the new normal. And then came really the testing. So in the early times, testing was difficult. You waited days and days and days before you got your test results. Then testing became more prevalent or a little easier to obtain. Then we got some orders from the governor to test in New York anyway, to test twice a week in the beginning and then now once a week. So caregivers are tested, caregivers in all residential settings, so adult living settings, are tested once a week. And we do that at the Osborne. We have the testing capability. We test 6 days a week there. So all the employees are tested. Testing in the caregivers in the community is a little more difficult logistically, but before caregivers go on a case, we can test them 3 days prior to know that within 72 hours they have not tested positive, and then we can test them every week if needed after that. So we're trying to make sure that people are tested. I see results every single day or get the results from our testing site and our HR department every single day, and we pull people immediately. The minute we find out, we call them. They are put on 14 days you know, isolation, and then they must test negative before coming back to work. So that is part of our process now and what we're doing to help keep people safe and both ends, both the caregivers and the clients.
Right. And I think it's very important that we are doing that. I mean, there's no way to be 100% safe in anything we do in this COVID world. We're minimizing, I guess, the risk as far as we can. That being said, I think you're seeing now an upswing in home care a little bit. Is the people are coming out of their shells a little bit. Families are getting back to work. Ones that were caring for their elderly now have their kids at home and their elderly parents, and they're trying to care for everybody, and it's just not working. They're starting to say, you know, we need help, and they're starting to pull it in, and they're educating themselves, and that's why we're here today, to kind of educate people to ask the companies those questions. What are they doing in the COVID season here? What are their safety measures? What are their protocols? What do we do in case A, B, or C happens? And I think that's the best you can do, you know, but these people do need the help. And I think it's not only the help, but also the engagement. People have been isolated we're going on 5 months now.
I was just going to get into that.
And it's really causing a lot of people anxiety and other decline in health just due to the isolation. So having someone come in is also helping perk them up a little bit. They can get them out for walks. They may not be able to go to the senior centers or to stores yet, but they can get them out to the park or get them out in the neighborhood walking. And it does make a big deal, a big change.
It makes a huge difference. And I think through all of this, with the you know, older population, social isolation has been the hardest thing to overcome. And we hear it not only on our end with Osborne Home Care and certainly at the Osborne with visitation limited, but through Spry and At Home on the Sound and the Stanford Senior Center and At Home in Greenwich. All of these organizations are really trying to help, you know, in whatever way they think is possible with social isolation. And because we can't oftentimes sit with somebody, it's just not something that is feasible. Caregiving is one of those things. You know, a caregiver can become that extension of a person, a home health aide or a CNA can become an extension of that family to let them know. And like you said, in the very beginning, it was, I'm my immune, you know, I've got immune deficiency. I'm afraid that, you know, I'll get it if I have from my parents or vice versa. So having somebody there was, I mean, truly the lifeline in some cases, and literally the lifeline in some cases, to what we saw.
And I think another thing is people don't think about home care. It is hitting the younger population. We are seeing that now, which we once thought was immune to it or not as risk. Home care can be utilized for younger people, too. I mean, we have a lot of young businessmen, in especially the Stanford and Greenwich area, women and men who are getting sick with this that may need a little extra support through this, someone to go grocery shopping for them, someone to go to the pharmacy for them or help cook some meals. It can be utilized for anybody. We're not just talking aging parents, and it can be used on both sides of the
We often forget about that. We often, you know, think that it is for aging adults, but home care, we have people call after a maternity, you know, after having a baby, just to take care of things around the house so they can concentrate on the infant. And like you said, business people who are, you know, just honestly sick and still working from home need a little assistance, you know, getting to the grocery store, getting to the pharmacy, cooking meals, or just keeping things, you know, in order so that they can concentrate on getting better and even, you know, their work if needed.
Yeah. So people forget about that. That's been another upswing that you're starting to see now, too. So,
right. Getting back a little bit to the social isolation, I know that one thing that really kind of didn't really surprise us, but we knew that we were doing it a little bit all along, but the interaction with the caregiver, you know, at even times using their own telephone or own device to Skype or FaceTime with parents and children has been honestly, you know, enlightening and heartwarming to see all of the interaction that's been done. Not to mention, you know, all the times when clients would call and say, you know, the caregiver's on their phone or the caregiver's on their tablet. Now they're asking them, can I play your game with you? Can I do this with you? Can I see the pictures of your children on Facebook? Because the interaction has been so needed and some kind of outlet to the, you know, outside world, if you will.
Well, it's kind of forced our older demographic to embrace it a little more. I know at the Stanford Senior Center, I'm on one of the board of the directors. T-Mobile has helped us out. They're going to be lending us iPads for members that don't have social media capability and stuff, so that we can hook them up with their families and they can keep a little more engaged, because we are looking towards the fall where we might see another lockdown. We're not sure yet. You know, I'm not to scare anyone, but
Never know.
Protect what happens. And so other companies like T-Mobile and stuff are reaching out to senior communities to help put into their hands loaner material that can be used so they can stay engaged with their families. And
I mean, the stuff that is out there that you can do, I mean, if you ever wanted to see the, you know, I don't know, Victoria and Albert Museum in London, you could see it, because you can do it all virtual now. I am amazed. I started learning French. I can't speak it, but I can listen to it really, really well.
Yeah, and, you know, the caregivers have helped educate their clients on how to use the social media, how to get onto these special iPads, because they've never had them before. So it's another thing that our caregivers are helping pave the way for.
And something that we've tried to do as well, to let the caregivers know what's out there. So there is a Tai Chi class out there if you want to share it with your client. Right. Or we're hosting, either through the Osborne or through one of the senior organizations, we're hosting a, you know, mystery or a book club or a trivia night. And the not only have, you know, the caregivers encouraged their clients to get involved, they've really started embracing both, you know, the education and the kind of camaraderie between the caregiver and the client. It's been awesome to see some of these virtual events come over and be there. Bingo. I mean, virtual bingo. It's all over. We're seeing it. So we try to make sure that the caregivers, the home health aides, know what's out there for
their clients. Especially here in Greenwich, the Commission on Aging has done a phenomenal job with connecting the community to all the resources they've set up for aging people. So we can get that information out to our caregivers and say, here are the links. Here are some great things to help them engage their client, because they can see people they normally used to spend time with maybe at the senior centers or at home in Greenwich's events. They're getting together. It's not quite the same, but it is at least engaging and socializing over a screen and seeing someone's face. There's a difference between seeing hearing a voice and seeing a face.
It has been amazing. I don't know whether you've been involved in any of the Zoom happy hours or dinner clubs or things like that.
Tons
I know you're
tons.
Tons of Zooms meetings, but the I find it very fun that I can interact with my Florida friends or my Vermont or whoever, and just kind of act like I'm there, even though I'm not.
it does cheer you up a little bit. I mean, ourselves have been locked up for a while now too, so it's not just the senior community. We know how different we feel getting back to work a little bit, getting in the car and being able to get out a little bit, how better we feel. Can you imagine? A lot of them are still not at that point, or that's how they've been living before this.
Right,
you know,
it
brings into light what social isolation really, because we've all felt it now. We kind of can get it a little more on a personal level.
I think I look at the caregivers that we've got and the folks over at the Osborne and Osborne Home Care, and not most of them did have to go to work every day, and what a amazing group of individuals that really, you know, talk about sacrifice of, you know, self and family and anything else. They were there many, many, many hours to take care of clients and to take care of residents. So a big kudo to all of those folks and all of our essential healthcare workers and grocery store workers and taxi drivers and Uber drivers and MTA and every hospitals. It has been unbelievable what we have endured, and I think are becoming better on the other end because of it.
I think if you haven't been a frontline worker, you don't realize what they've went through, the stress they went through, the feelings they've had. They really are appreciative of the public outcry for them and reach out to them and thanking them. It's been stressful for a lot of people.
And it has.
And I think we all need to just be kind when we see them. Be thankful. And when they ask you to put your mask on, be kind. Put your mask on. Even if you don't believe in it or whatever. These are people that are just doing their job and trying to stay safe and go home to their families at the end of the day.
That's right. So on our Welcome Back show, I thank you so much for tuning in. And we will be back in 2 weeks with a great guest.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
Legislative dithering, coronavirus warning. I'm Jan Johnson. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on Republicans to come together on a plan for a new round of coronavirus relief.
It's hard to negotiate.